Our Deliverer by Mrs. E. G. White. November 29, 1903. After Satan had been cast out of heaven, he came to this earth. He knew God's high purpose for human beings and determined to make them swerve from their loyalty. He succeeded. Adam sinned, and to all appearance there was no hope for the race. But man was not abandoned to his sin and misery. Lucifer thought that he had full control of the race, but God had not given them up. When there was no eye to pity, no arm to save, his arm brought salvation. He laid help upon one that is mighty. The Son of God became man's substitute and surety. He pledged himself to ransom human beings from the destroyer and to restore them to their original purity. He would defeat the cruel foe. For ages the world seemed to be wholly under the control of Satan. The Son of God, looking upon the world, beheld suffering and misery. With pity he saw how men had become victims of satanic cruelty. He looked with compassion upon those who were being corrupted, murdered, lost. They have chosen a leader who chained them to his car as captives. Bewildered and deceived, they were moving on in gloomy procession toward eternal ruin, to death in which comes no hope or life, toward night to which comes no hope of life, toward night to which comes no morning. Satanic agencies were incorporated with men. The bodies of human beings, made for the dwelling place of God, had become the habitation of demons. The senses, the nerves, the passions, the organs of men were worked by supernatural agencies in the indulgence of the vilest lust. The very stamp of demons was impressed on the countenances of men. Human faces reflected the expression of the legions of evil with which they were possessed. Such was the prospect upon which the world's Redeemer looked. What a spectacle for infinite purity to behold! But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Satan knew that one had come to this earth to dispute his authority. He heard the angels as they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2, verse 14. He followed the footsteps of those who had charge of the infant Savior. He heard the words of the aged prophet in the temple as, taking Jesus in his arms, he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Verses 29 to 32. Not without hindrance was the commander of heaven to win the souls of men to his kingdom. From the time when he was a babe in Bethlehem, he was continually assailed by the evil one. In the counsels of Satan, it was determined that he should be overcome. The forces of evil were set upon his track to engage in warfare against him, and if possible, to overcome him. Satan saw that he must either conquer or be conquered. The issues of the conflict involved too much to be entrusted to his confederate angels. He must personally conduct the warfare. All the energies of apostasy were rallied against the Son of God. Christ was made the mark of every weapon of hell. In every possible way, Satan sought to prevent Jesus from developing a perfect childhood, a faultless manhood, a holy ministry, and an unblemished sacrifice. But he was defeated. He could not lead Jesus into sin. He could not discourage him or drive him from the work he had come to this earth to do. From the desert to Calvary, the storm of Satan's wrath beat upon him. But the more mercilessly it fell, the more firmly did the Son of God cling to the hand of his Father and press on in the blood-stained path.
All the efforts of Satan to oppress and overcome him only brought out in a purer light his spotless character. Christ was crucified, and in his death the powers of hell seemed to prevail, and they exulted in their victory. But from the rent sepulchre of Joseph, Christ came forth a conqueror. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Colossians 2, verse 15. By virtue of his death and resurrection, he became the minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. Hebrews 8, verse 2.
Today, Satan strives to lead the disciples of Christ from their allegiance. He is a wary, artful foe, and were we left to battle against him in our own strength, we should be overcome. But help has been laid upon one that is mighty. When Christ went away, he said to his disciples, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." Matthew 28, verse 20. In this promise, the lapse of time has wrought no change. Though now he has ascended to the presence of God and shares the throne of the universe, Jesus has lost none of his compassionate nature. Today, the same tender, sympathizing heart is open to all the woes of humanity. Today, the hand that was pierced is reached forth to save his people that are in the world. "They shall never perish," he says, "neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 10, verse 28. The one who has given himself to God is more precious than the whole world. The Savior would have passed through the agony of Calvary that one might be saved in his kingdom. He will never abandon one for whom he died. Unless his followers choose to leave him, he will hold them fast. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16.